We'll start our meeting this evening by singing together a hymn from the hymn sheet. If you don't have a hymn sheet, put up your hand. Some brethren are giving them out. Number 9, we read the hymn says, "Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. Only trust Him. Only trust Him. Only trust Him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. For Jesus shed His precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow." Number 9 on the hymn sheet.
Come every soul by
God and our Father, we thank Thee for this hymn we can sing. We thank Thee we can open Thy word together too. We thank Thee that there is such good news from Thy heart of love to us, poor creatures. We thank Thee that so patient and long-suffering our God and Father, not willing that any should perish that at this late hour, still the message of Thy love and mercy and grace can go out. We pray Thy help tonight, Father, that Thou wouldst be with the speaker's lips and work in our hearts too, that we might understand something from Thy heart of love. And if anyone here in the midst of us still is a stranger to such love and grace, we pray tonight that they would come, they would not tarry, that they would come tonight to know Him and trusting Him only. We ask these things with confidence, Father, knowing not us here and answer prayers, because we ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Two words in this hymn that I want to draw attention to, and perhaps you could remember as we speak this evening for a few moments. The first word is mercy. And in connection with mercy, I'd like to read a verse in the Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 2. And the fourth verse, Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 2, and verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us. The God of the Bible, the God who made the world, is a God who is rich in mercy and has great love. Love that he has proven beyond the shadow of any doubt. That he has proven to this world when he sent his Son, the Lord Jesus, to manifest God's character. God himself manifest in flesh. And when he let him bear our sins in his own body on the tree. We could say this world is a godless world, but we'd be wrong. This world has a God, but the God of the Bible hasn't given up. He's still acting. He has acted in the past. He's going to act in the future. And he's acting now. And we pray tonight that he will act in your soul and do something. Make you responsible before him. Mercy, there's different words used in the scriptures that are translated mercy. And in this passage, in my French Bible and other passages, the word is miséricorde, which is really a word that means a heart that is sensitive to the misery of another. God can see the misery of his creature, and he's not indifferent. And he doesn't say, good for you, you should have behaved otherwise. God is not like that. He has a heart that feels for us. He feels tonight for the sorrow that's on the face of this planet, and so many of his creatures suffering. And he doesn't say, good for you. He's rich in mercy. His heart is sensitive to our sufferings and our misery. And he has a solution. He wants to come in for us. And he wants to come in for us and do what's best for us. You know, sometimes we find ourselves in situations and we have an idea of what would be best for us. But we're not all wise. We don't know the future. God knows the future. And if we'll let him, he'll do what's best for each one of us. And what's best for you, what's best for me, if you don't know the Lord Jesus, your Savior, is to come to him right now. Nothing better for you to do than to come to him right now. Maybe this is the first time you hear about the Lord Jesus. Maybe you've heard many times. But I trust with the help of God that when you leave this room tonight, you'll be a responsible person before God. Perhaps you are already and you've just been careless. But you'll be a responsible person before God, knowing from God's Word what God expects from you. And I trust that as you go out this door tonight, you'll say, oh, I know the Lord Jesus is my personal Savior. And if you can't say that right now, I say, please pay attention. You know, it says in Romans chapter 11, turn for a verse there for a moment. We'll read verse 32. I'll just make a few comments on there. That's Romans 11, 32. Here's the Apostle Paul. Is explaining a little bit of what God has been doing through the ages with His people Israel, and now what He's doing through the gospel with other nations. And it says in the 31st verse, verse 32 rather, "For God hath concluded or enclosed them all," that's Jew and Gentile, doesn't matter which nationality you are, "God has concluded them all in unbelief," or we could say disobedience. That word translated unbelief here, it means someone who willingly refuses to believe, to submit, to accept what God says, what God commands, what God requires. And that's a trait of natural man. He's dead in trespasses and sins, and he's an enemy of God. And God says, well, this is what the Jews have been, and this is what all the nations have been, disobedient. And the reason God has put them all together in this clump of disobedience is in order that He might have mercy upon all. Not that He will have mercy upon all. He wants to have mercy upon all. There's no one in this room tonight God does not want to have mercy on. So He offers you tonight to be reconciled to Him by the death of His Son. There's no other way to be reconciled to Him but by the sacrifice that He has provided Himself in the person of the Lord Jesus. And I know many in this room already have come to know the Lord as their personal Savior. They can call God their Father. They know they're on their way to heaven. They know many things from this precious book that God is pleased to reveal to them. And God would have you, each one tonight in this room, to be in that same position. Because He wants to bless you. He wants to know you to know that He's rich in mercy and that He loved you so much that He gave the Lord Jesus for you on the cross. See, I've heard that before. It's good. You might hear it again if God is patient with you. Have you believed it? You know, in the news recently I was reading, there's a woman in Quebec somewhere, I believe it was in Quebec. She got a fine. She was going down an escalator. All these electric stairs there. She was going down the escalator and she had parcels in her hand. And there was a policeman there. And he told the lady, he says, "You have to hold the ramp." And she didn't obey. So he told her again, "Lady, you have to hold the ramp." And she said, "I only have two hands." You know, she had all these parcels in her hands. "I only have two hands." He says, "You have to hold the ramp, lady." And she didn't. So she got arrested. And she got a fine. She had to pay, it was $420 for not holding the ramp on the escalator. You say, "Boys, that's terrible. You didn't hold the ramp on the escalator, you had to pay $420 fine. What do you think she's going to do next time she goes down the escalator? She's going to hold the ramp. Or she'll get broke in no time." This other man, he was arrested and fined for feeding the squirrels. There was a sign said, "Do not feed the squirrels." He just loves squirrels. He just loves animals. So he brought these nuts, and all the squirrels would come and go in his head and in his pocket. They arrested him, gave him a fine. He went to court. He lost. The sign said, "Do not feed the squirrels." And he fed the squirrels. He read the sign, and he didn't believe what he read, and he did it anyway, and he had to pay a fine. The other lady paid a fine too for not holding the handrail. I want to show you something. What's this here? What is these? What are these here? What are these? Sticks? Of course, sticks. If you go out the door there, when we're done, you can look on the left. There's a pile of sticks there. I got them out of the dormitory right by the door, a lot of sticks. I was picking up sticks there. What they are we?
What's today? What day are we? Sunday? No. Saturday. That's right, Saturday. And you know, Saturday is the Sabbath for the Jews. You come up here next time. Numbers chapter 15. You know, I could have gotten into real trouble, boys and girls, picking up these sticks. You say, no, you can't get it. Is there a sign that says not to pick up sticks out here? No, not here. But in the Old Testament times, in Israel, you were not allowed to pick up sticks on the Saturday, which is today. Had I been living in Israel several thousand years ago and done the same thing I did today, I might have lost my life. Say, that's not fair. Well, that lady who paid $420 for not holding the ramp, the policeman told her three times, lady, hold on to the ramp. What did she do? She disobeyed. This man, he got charged for feeding the squirrels. Was he ignorant? No. He disobeyed. And this man in Numbers 15, we'll read about that. But let's suppose, before we read that, we're going to read two accounts there. But let's suppose that I didn't know it was Saturday. And I didn't know that you weren't supposed to pick up sticks on Saturday. I saw no sign. Nobody ever told me. And somebody found me picking sticks up on a Saturday. They would say, what are you doing? I'm picking up sticks. You're not allowed to pick up sticks on Saturday. Oh, what would I have done? Go on anyway? I said, put my sticks aside. I'm not going to do it anymore. Because sometimes you can be doing something wrong and you don't know. You're ignorant. Once you know, then you're not ignorant anymore. So God had made a provision in the Old Testament that some people might do things out of ignorance. They didn't know. And they did the thing they were supposed to do, but they didn't know. And sometimes we do that too. Well, God takes into consideration if we're responsible or not. And if you're not responsible, because you were ignorant. So Numbers chapter 15 and verse 27, it says, and if any soul sin through ignorance, then he shall bring a she-goat of the first year for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for the soul that sinneth ignorantly, when he sinneth by ignorance before the Lord, to make an atonement for him. And it shall be forgiven him. What's interesting here is that it's not like it never happened. It happened, but there was a provision for that person to be forgiven because they didn't know. So they had to offer a sacrifice for him, and God accepted the sacrifice, and he forgave him. And then it says, verse 29, ye shall have one law for him that sinneth through ignorance, both for him that is born among the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among you. So whether you were a Jew or just a visitor, you weren't allowed to do it. But there was provision for ignorance. And once you knew, then you weren't ignorant anymore. But then it goes on and it says, but the soul that doeth ought presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproacheth the Lord, and the soul shall be cut off from among his people, because he hath despised the word of the Lord and hath broken his commandment. That soul shall utterly be cut off. His iniquity shall be upon him. There was a difference there. Somebody did the same thing, but they were ignorant. That lady, she was summoned three times to hold the handrail. And she kept on not holding it. That other man, he had a sign there, don't feed the squirrels. He went ahead anyway. But there was a consequence. They had fines. Well, here's this man now, Numbers 15 and 32. He knew what God had said. And he despised what God had said. And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found the man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. Just what I did a few minutes ago. This is what this man did. Didn't rob a bank. Didn't stab anybody. Didn't hurt anybody else. From our standards, did nothing wrong except God had forbidden that to happen. And he went ahead anyway. He despised the law of the Lord. When God says something, he means what he says. And he means business. And that's what happened. They found him gathering sticks, brought him unto Moses and Aaron and all the congregation. Verse 34, they put him in ward because it was not declared what should be done to him. And the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall be surely put to death. Wasn't Moses said, oh, that's bad. No, the Lord said to Moses, put him to death. Oh, is that the same God that's rich in mercy, wherewith the great love, wherewith he's loved, that same God? No mercy. Treating this man according to his responsibility. He knew, and he was willfully disobedient. He went ahead and did what he wanted and disobeyed the Lord. And he did get what he deserved. Some people listen to things like that and say, that's not fair. We're not to tell God what's fair and not fair. We're to listen to God to obey what he says. Now, I don't know what happened the Saturday after, the next Sabbath, but I presume there weren't too many people of Israel out gathering sticks on that Saturday. People took notice, and perhaps they started having the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This world has no wisdom because it has no fear of God. They blaspheme God's name day in, day out. And they despise the name of the Lord Jesus day in, day out. They have no fear of God before their eyes. And they're all the more guilty because before the Lord Jesus came, it was the condition of men not having the fear of God before their eyes. And now he has come. And he has manifested the heart of God. He's died on the cross and he's risen again. He's in the glory now. And the gospel is being preached across the face of this earth. And God is patient and long-suffering. And maybe he's waiting for you tonight. Because he is love. He is rich in mercy. And that's why we have subsisted as his creatures before him. Defiant as we are. He is rich in mercy, slow to anger. But you know, in the end, it's going to be his way. It's going to be perfectly in accordance with this book that we have in our hand. There's a man who's going to reign supreme. His name is Jesus Christ. He is Lord of lords and King of kings. Now, I don't know what's in your soul tonight. I can't see in your heart tonight. I don't know if you hold a handrail when you go down the escalator, or if you feed the squirrels, or if you pick up sticks on Saturdays, or whatever else you do that God says you shouldn't be doing. But God says you have done things you shouldn't have done. He knows. He says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now one got a fine, the other one had a fine. This man lost his physical life. Anything worse than that? Losing your physical life? Oh, something so terrible? Is perishing forever in torment away from God? It's in this book. From the God who is rich in mercy. Because of the great love wherewith he loved us. This same God will send men in eternal torment and damnation. Why is that? Because they are willfully
disobedient. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Let's read verse 28. Hebrews 10, verse 28. He that despiseth Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. This man who did what I did in Israel way back in Numbers 15, he died without mercy. Moses said, put him to death. And they put him to death. He died. That man died that same day because he picked up sticks. That's what it says here. What have you and I done? Well, here's something that was done. And I don't want you ever to do that. Don't do that tonight. Verse 29. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and had counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and had done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Here's a question. A question for you and I to think about. Here's this man, he just picked up a few pieces of wood. Lost his life. What about spitting in the face of the Lord Jesus? Trodding underfoot the Son of God. Blaspheming His name. Think God is indifferent to that? What do you think the punishment's going to be? The one who picked up the sticks, he died without mercy. And there's a time coming where there will be no more mercy on the part of God for those that are guilty before Him, who will have rejected or neglected the callings of His heart of love, His offer of grace and mercy and reconciliation to this guilty world. When the Apostle Paul wrote these words, he was referring to those Jews who were going back to Judaism and dissociating themselves in every way they could from the testimony of the gospel, perhaps that they'd embraced before. And in the year 70, Titus and the Roman armies, they came to Israel. And 1,100,000 people were slain, children, women, old men, soldiers. I'm sure they must have cried to the Lord for their children, for their wives, for their husbands, for their sons, for their daughters. Nothing stopped it. There was no mercy. My friend, tonight, God is calling you in love to consider that when the Lord Jesus was on the cross, there was no mercy for Him. He cried, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? There was no answer to that question. You despise tonight the Son of God. You want to put off trusting in the Lord Jesus. It's not important for you to get saved. Well, God thinks it's so important for you to get saved now. Not tomorrow. We don't know about tomorrow. The Lord Jesus might well come tonight. And when you stand before God, are you going to say, I've never done anything wrong? Well, Romans 3:23 says, you have sinned. And you come short of the glory of God. You calling God a liar when He says you've sinned? Say, no, I never sinned. You're going to tell, I never heard about the Lord Jesus? Well, do I have to say it again? In other words, we've been talking about the Son of God all day. Perhaps you've been here before. Perhaps you go to meetings and you hear about the Lord Jesus. Have you given in to Him and say, Lord, I don't want to be rebellious and disobedient anymore. I don't want to be unbelieving. I want to submit. I want to accept this offer from God to be reconciled to Him by the death of His Son. It cost God so much. I can't imagine what it was for God the Father not to answer this blessed one who only did those things that please the Father, not like you and me. We do things that provoke God. He always did those things that please the Father. There was no reason for Him to be there save that He wanted to do the Father's will. And the Father wanted to have sons and daughters in heaven. That's you and me. And that's why He had to give Him for us, because He couldn't have us in heaven unless He could take our sins away. And the only way to take our sins away is for a sinless sin bearer, the Lord Jesus, to be on that cross, to be judged, to receive the chastisement that we deserved. And God gave that to Him for all those that believe. And for those that believe not, not that haven't heard, those that have heard and believe not, if it was me, it won't be me because I've accepted the Lord. I would be getting what I deserve. I would be getting eternal separation from God in torment forever from the God who is rich in mercy. Because of the great love wherewith He loved us, which I put off, refused, neglected, and the time passed, and I crossed into eternity without the Lord Jesus. You know, there was a time in my life I could blaspheme the name of the Lord 3 times a minute. Never think of it. Probably wouldn't even notice myself that I was using the Lord's name in vain. Did God hear that? Oh, He did. I'm so thankful I'm never going to stand before God to answer for my sins, because the Lord Jesus, He was forsaken on the cross for me. He was the one who did not receive mercy, so I received mercy. Have you received mercy from the Lord, dear one, tonight? Or are you going to stand before Him when there is no mercy? You know, it says in John chapter 3, verse 36, you know, I just dislike using judgment in the gospel. You know, I'd rather just speak of love and grace and forgiveness and heaven and all these things. But I'd have to skip some verses from this book. John 3:36, it says, He that believeth on the Son, that's the name of the Lord Jesus, the Son, hath everlasting life. Wonderful. John 6:47, Jesus said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me has everlasting life. Oh, wonderful. But this verse keeps on. And if tonight you can't say, oh, wonderful, I have everlasting life, this verse keeps on and it speaks about you. And he that believeth not, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Luke chapter 19. The Lord Jesus says in Matthew's Gospel chapter 11, Come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Apostle Paul says, The Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I have loved you, saith the Lord. God is rich in mercy. God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What wonders of God's love, grace, and patience to give that one for guilty ones such as us who deserved the punishment for our sins, being cast away forever from Him.
and you would not have that. He pleads with us. He long suffers over this world, not willing that any should perish. Is anyone in this room tonight perishing? Is anyone in this room tonight still has the wrath of God upon them? Because it has not fallen for them on the Lord Jesus on the cross. They won't have Him yet. They're putting it off. They're reasoning in their mind, thinking they'll decide when they're done doing what they want to do. Bad decision. Very unwise. Luke chapter 19, verse 27, the Lord Jesus, He's the one that gave this parable. But thine enemies, which would not, but those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Or slay them in my presence. I believe this parable was a prophecy of what happened to the Jews. Because not only was the Lord a testimony among them, and then the apostles came and gave them a testimony of a crucified and resurrected Christ who was willing to forgive. And they rejected that too, and they stoned Stephen, the Lord's messenger. And God said, well, if you don't want them, I'll offer them to other people. And that's how you and I, who aren't Jews, have heard the wonderful news of the Lord Jesus. I trust you've heard it tonight, my friend. I trust you're responsible before God to know that from this book, you are guilty of doing something. And the Lord knows everything about you. Something that displeases God. And that will have you incur eternal punishment unless you accept the richness of God's mercy and the greatness of His love manifested in the Lord Jesus on the cross, whose cry He did not answer so He could answer your cry tonight. Have you cried to Him yet, Lord Jesus, save me? You haven't already? Don't put it off. Tonight. Now. So it says, today is the day of salvation. Now is the day of salvation. It's been running 2,000 years. It's still now. I can't say about tomorrow. I can't say about the rest of this evening. But we can be assured from the Word of God, right now, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you're going to be saved. He's going to save you now. Only trust Him. Put it off? Oh, serious. One verse, 1 John chapter 5, verse 9. 1 John 5 and 9. If we receive the witness of men, we do that all the time. We do it in school. We do it in our business. There's all sorts of things that we act upon that we learn from men. We have reports of things, we believe them, and we act upon them. We believe the witness of men. It says, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which He had testified of His Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. This world is constantly calling God a liar. God hath given witness to His Son in this world, and the world says, that's not true. God has given us His Word. And the Lord Jesus says, Thy Word is truth. And they say, that's not true. But let me tell you from the bottom of my heart, dear ones, tonight, it is true. It is true. The testimony that God has given
of His Son. It's absolutely true. This is the Word of God. It's absolutely true. And if you don't believe it, you'll be sorry forever. So tonight, why don't you give in to the Lord? Lord Jesus, You can have me. You can have my sins. I don't want to go on in them anymore. You saved me tonight. I don't want to stand before You with my pile of sticks. And in one of them is rejection of the glorious gospel concerning the Son of God who hung on the cross, to save sinners. And that's what you are, a sinner before God. And you wouldn't have Him. God has nothing else for this world but the Lord Jesus Christ. May you have Him as your personal Savior tonight. If I haven't been clear, if you'd like to talk to someone else after, please do. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our God and our Father, what richness in Thy grace and mercy to consider Him, the Creator of the world, hanging between heaven and earth on these two sticks of wood that we put up for Him. And Father, Thou didst pour out upon Him the judgment that so many of us deserved. We thank Thee for everyone that has come to the Lord Jesus and knows Him now as their personal Savior. We pray for everyone in this room that none would go out a stranger to Thy love and grace, that none would be willingly disobedient, trodding underfoot the Son of God, rejecting the testimony Thou hast given of Thy Son, rejecting Him. We pray that that would not happen to any. We thank Thee for this time together. Pray Thy blessing on Thy word, Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.